Welcome to Careertours. This week, how to welcome a new colleague the first day. The questions this cast answers are, what things can I do to welcome a new colleague? Why is it important to welcome a new colleague? And why should it be my job to welcome a new colleague?
In less than 1 month, December 1st through 3rd, we'll be in the Washington, D.C. area, Dulles to be precise, with our public conferences. We're expecting a smaller than usual group, likely no more than 10 attendees each day, which means a lot more time to dig more deeply into the content and the concepts. We'd love to have you join us. You can register today by visiting manager-tools.com/training.
The problem with new people joining your team is that you're almost certainly already busy because there's somebody missing from your team.
That's why we're hiring them.
That's why we're hiring. So we're either hiring because somebody left or we're hiring because we've realized we've got too much work to do and we need another person. So you're already busy doing your job and someone else's job. And what we really want is for the new person to walk in and be as good as the old person was in about an hour and a half.
That would be amazing.
And sometimes we act as if that's possible, and it completely isn't, of course. It's way better to spend some time, a couple of weeks, getting someone acclimatized, and then know that they're gonna take all that effort off you. And if you've been suffering for a month or more with a person down, then you know you can do this for another 2 weeks. We have faith in you. And you can do some of these extra things so that that person feels welcome, so that they start well. I saw some statistics once that like 10% of people leave in the first 2 weeks, which is massive. And some of the reasons they leave is they get to the company and nobody welcomes them. Nobody's nice to them. Nobody tells them what's going on. Nobody tells them what their new job is. There isn't a computer for them and they just feel like, I don't want to be here. They don't want me here. So I could go somewhere else and be happier. And we don't want that happening. So take the time to do all of these things on the first day and take the time to train them and you'll have a happier outcome.
Absolutely. Well, all right. So our outline for today, we're going to start with introduce yourself, then show them the org chart. Then we're going to talk about the use of Horstman's Law of New Guys and Wendy's 20-question rule, take them to lunch and pay, create an onboarding plan, report your experience, and ask them how their day went.
Yeah. Some of this sounds ridiculous. Like, introduce yourself just sounds so silly. But for the most of my 20s, I acted as a temp. So I would go into a new company or a new organization every 2 or 3 weeks. And the amount of time that nobody spoke to me on the first day, or that one person spoke to me and everybody else in the office completely ignored me as if I wasn't there, was amazing. And I think it's because everybody else has got their job to do. You know, everybody's like, head down, I'm doing my thing. I don't know who that person is, or I vaguely know who that person is, but I don't need to speak to them, so I'm not going to. But the people that made an impression were the people who stopped what they were doing, stood up, walked over and said, hi, I'm so-and-so, and this is where I fit in. And it's so nice for a new person just to know, you know, that they know someone's name when they need to go to the bathroom and they don't have a key yet, so now they exactly. Can't go back into the office. Or, you know, they need to work out which printer is the one that they can see and how they print on that piece of paper. Or if they're remote, you know, that they know exactly where on Dropbox you keep this random file that they've suddenly discovered they need. So if you're in the office and somebody new comes into the office, just stop what you're doing, stand up, go and introduce yourself. And if you're remote, call them on the phone or call them on video. And you needn't worry about what they're doing because they're on their first day.
How important can it be?
Yeah, right? It doesn't matter. They're not doing anything and they will remember that you called or walked over and said hello.
Absolutely, they will. Now, guys, so you know, we do have a podcast on how to introduce yourself if you're interested in listening to that. But we recommend when you introduce yourself, you include both your first and last name, as well as your position with the team. So, for example, it could sound like this. Hi, my name is Wendy Lord. I work for Mark Horstman, managing the career tools side of our business.
Okay, do yours.
All right.
Because it's weird when you introduce yourself as me.
It is weird, especially because I'm talking to you. Now, if you met previously, like for example, and this has happened a few times in manager tools, I've met people here after I have already interviewed themselves. So I can give a bit of context in that example. So it would sound like this. Hi, I'm Sarah Sentis. I work for Mark Horstman, managing our public conference business. You might remember we spoke on the phone. During your interview, we talked a little bit about how I live in Edmonton in Canada.
Especially if you've done an interview process by phone, it's so hard to keep everybody straight. And so giving them that extra like little bit of context, and every interview is different. You always end up talking about something that's not irrelevant, but isn't an answer to an interview question. You know, somebody will say, like you'll say, oh, I live in Edmonton. And they'll say, oh, really? My best holiday ever was in Toronto, you know, and it's like a tiny thing. And remember, you're only meeting one person. This poor person is meeting 5, 10, 20 people.
Exactly. And
if they're in the office, they're also trying to remember how they get from the door to their new desk and how they get from their desk to the coffee and how they get from their desk to the bathroom. And, you know, and if they're at home, they're trying to remember who those people were that they spoke to and who said where they go and how they log on to that thing that they need. And, you know, there's a lot to take in on your first day. So be nice and remember that you know everything and you're only meeting one person, so make it easy for them.
Mm-hmm. And I hear this all the time. People, especially even in the interview process, they know who I am. Why should I interview or introduce myself multiple times? Guys, don't be afraid to introduce yourself more than once. If it's been a couple of hours, considering all of the things that are going on in the environment and all of the new information coming at them, it might have only been a few hours, but you can still go up to them and stick your hand out and shake their hand and introduce yourself again, right? Hey, I know it's really hard to keep everybody straight around here and we probably look really similar. I'm Sarah, right? And you can make a joke of it, right? You can say to them, I'm going to keep reminding you until you say my name first. To make sure I know it's stuck.
And then you can keep saying it. I'm face blind, so I have been known to walk past my own parents. I don't recognize people. Even on Zoom calls, I get mixed up sometimes with this. If there's two people who have characteristics like long, dark hair, and I know there's two people on the team and they both look that way, it's hard for me to tell the difference. And so I often tell people, don't worry about it. Just introduce yourself again. I almost certainly don't know who you are. So it's just embarrassing, but it's a fact of life. You know, it's like, I don't know, only having one arm. I just don't have a brain that remembers people. And, you know, and proper etiquette, as my grandmother taught me, is about making other people feel comfortable. That's what etiquette exists for, of being polite and saying nice things and eating properly so that you don't show other people your mouthful and all that right? kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all there to make other people feel comfortable. And we don't point out people's mistakes because that's rude. So if we didn't do all of these things, these etiquette things, these politeness things, then we would all be having fights in any building there was more than one of us in. So let's just make it easy for the new hire and take what the burden is, which isn't that much of a burden. Introduce yourself, keep introducing yourselves, help them. Take that burden on yourself to make their day better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. The next piece then is show them the organizational chart. Now, guys, the reason we say this is because the org chart, it's a really quick and easy way for you to help them understand where they fit into the organization itself, right? It's like a map. It's like a map for where they sit amongst all of the other people that they may or may not yet have met. Right? It's a really useful tool. You can share things that you know about other people in the organization that aren't necessarily their team or their role, what have you. You can use the org chart to share both formal and informal organizational rules.
And organization charts aren't secret. It's not. Sometimes people act as if they are. It's, oh, we can't possibly show somebody that Like, okay.
They work here, though,
not,
now.
They're not secret. Right, yeah. They're on the internet, usually. And there's no reason not to print one out, even if you think, oh, well, we showed them during the interview process. Show them again, right? They interviewed with 10 different companies. They didn't keep it, even if they kept it. They don't remember anything you said about it because they were stressed during the interview process. So print it out and have them take notes on the piece of paper. Show them your team, where they are, where you are, you know, where you are in the organization. Explain to them the responsibilities of the other team members. So for instance, if we're introducing us at Manager Tools, if I showed you the organization chart, I would say Sarah's responsible for our public conference business and Kate is responsible for our client conference business and Cassie is responsible for logistics. And I would have them write, if it's not on the organization chart, have them write it on there so that that helps them start to picture how the team works. Show them where your boss is and his peers and their responsibilities. So sometimes, like, you'll be in the, I don't know, commercial vehicles section, and then that your boss's peer has non-commercial vehicles, public vehicles. Or sometimes you're in a geographic region and then your boss's peers have other geographic regions. And so organizations are organized in different ways. And so it's helpful for them to know not only what you're doing, but how the other parts of the organization work. Show them where your boss's boss is. And sometimes in organization, on organization charts, that's not a direct line upwards. Mm-hmm. It's not obvious sometimes. Sometimes they're matrix. Sometimes they have very odd structures. So it's not always obvious. Then explain to them where you fit in the broader organization. So I worked for IBM for a while in business services, which tells nobody anything about what you do. Right. So you have to kind of explain, hey, this is what business, it's consulting for IT. Or at least it was when I was there. And then tell them who they might be working with a lot. So sometimes, often when I did recruitment, recruitment was outside of HR. So recruitment would be sat with a department. So I might be in, when I worked for BAE, I worked for submarines. So I was in submarines recruitment, and HR had a completely different structure. And so you had to know the person in HR who you were going to be working with. And it wasn't obvious. It wasn't like there was an HR person for submarines, or they might be working with someone in procurement or someone in legal. All those support services are often not structured the way the rest of the organization is. So if they're going to be working with someone in particular or several someones, point out where those people are on the organization chart, because those people probably didn't interview them.
Yes, exactly. Those people probably didn't interview them. And we all know from experience that within organizations, some of us have job titles or roles that aren't overly telling of what we actually do. So jotting things down, going through all of it. And guys, as you show them the different people, as you're walking through your org chart, try and include, if you can, something that'll help them remember the person. And if you can, any pitfalls about maybe working with them. Now, to be clear, we're not saying that you should be talking to the new person and airing dirty laundry, but all organizations have, like, both formal, like, straight line structures, that organizational chart power, and then real power or influence because of the roles we fill within the organization. We might not be somebody's boss, but we are responsible for things that will help them accomplish their job. Now, your new hire, to be clear, is going to need to know about both of those things. So if that wasn't clear, here's an example. You could say, while going through the org chart or while introducing somebody, this is John, and he works on recycling of manufactured homes. He's a former linebacker, so you're going to know him when you meet him. It'll be obvious, right? Alternately, you could say, this is Joan. She's in charge of room booking, so you're going to want to make sure you stay on the right side of Joan. Things like that.
The other thing I just thought of, which I didn't write in here, but pronunciations. So my last but one boss in my last job before I came here, was his name was Cal Cocchiara, which is an Italian name and has about 14 extra letters.
Yeah.
And nobody can say it until you've said it several times, and then you can just reel it off. And so one of the things when we had someone new come in, we always wrote phonetically his name underneath his name on the org chart, because otherwise they had no hope of knowing who he was. And you can do this by phone or video. you know, just email them the org chart, tell them to print it out, and then tell them where you are. Like, we're going to start bottom left and then work your way across.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Next up, let's talk about the use of Horstman's Law of New Guys and Wendy's 20 question rule. So Horstman's Law of New Guys says, you don't know anything, and we know that you don't know anything. So just ask the damn question, right? A lot of people in a new job actually have a fear of asking questions so that they want to prevent it from looking like they don't know the answer. But guys, that's dumb. To be clear, of course you don't know the answer. Everyone knows you don't know anything. You just walked in the door. How would you possibly know these things? So make sure, and because, again, new hires, new people coming in, they want to impress, right? They want to look like they know everything. And again, we already know they know nothing and they're hesitant to ask. So when you're talking to your new hire, make sure you tell them, because you're new, when we're talking, I'm going to assume that you know absolutely nothing. So I'm going to explain things very clearly. And if you have a question, you want to jump in anytime, please feel free to. I'm not clear whether or not you need to know more. I'll try to give more information up front, though, because there's no reason you should feel like you know anything today.
And this cast, to be clear, is about peers. This is not the boss. The boss should say this too. The boss, whoever the new manager, should be saying to this person, we know you know nothing. We're ready to answer all of your questions. A new hire needs to hear it from everybody.
From everybody.
And so keep saying it.
Yes.
So absolutely. Mark's law of new guys is pretty succinct. Mine is a little bit more complicated because why not? So my rule is the 20 question rule. And it goes like this. I give new people 20 questions a day. So I tell them, you have 20 questions a day. You can ask anything. You can ask the same question 20 times, or you can ask 20 different questions. Doesn't matter. You get 20 every day. And by the way, it started the day you accepted. So between acceptance and hire, right, there's another 7 or 14 days. So I tell them, you've already got 140 questions banked and you get 20 today. And if you don't ask 20 today, tomorrow you'll have 160. So it rolls over. And it's just, it's silly. It is a silly rule, but it's a way of saying to them, you have as many questions as you like. And it's kind of a joke and kind of a, you know, a silliness, but it's also a way of taking any of the stress away. And the other thing it does is, because I'm an impatient person, it helps remind me that I gave them 20 questions and that therefore I have to be patient when they're asking the fourth question or the fifth question. Nobody ever gets to 20. And if you get someone who gets to 20, give them a bonus or give them like some extra, tell them the weekend counts or whatever. So just what you want them to be on the lowest number of questions versus the number they have. So they always feel free to ask questions. And sometimes Cassie started with us in December, I think.
November, yeah. Around Veterans Day.
Yeah. So I told her this rule when she started. And sometimes she'll call me now and say, I have a question. And I say, that's okay. You've got 4,573 left. And it's another way of saying you have, ask as many questions as you need to ask, and I'm going to be patient and answer them.
Exactly.
Yesterday, we had our first effective remote manager session, and I have to say, it was so much fun. There was a group of professionals discussing their challenges and learnings over the past months in regards to remote management, and it was so helpful and positive. If you are struggling with remote management, if you're dealing with the changes that the pandemic has brought about, please consider coming to one of our effective remote manager sessions, or maybe have your whole team attend a client event. You'll find on our website that the effective remote manager is a specific section of our guidance focused on the managerial trinity and using it remotely. We'd love to see you. It's a great session. See you soon.
All right. Now this next topic is my favorite. It's take them to lunch and pay. Now, we want you to ensure your new team member has all the things necessary for life. We kind of alluded to, or we mentioned things like how to find the coffee, where the washrooms are, the bathrooms, and how to find lunch. Guys, think of yourself in their shoes. Everybody worries about lunch, right? Where do you go? What time do you go for lunch? How long do we take for lunch around here? How's lunch going to go? Who will I sit with? How much will it cost? Where is it? There are so many team norms about all of those things, as well as the new employee's own preferences. And there's a wide range of acceptable practice from teams who simply just turn off their computers at noon and take out books, right? Read in a lunchroom. Sometimes they eat at our desks in silence for an hour, right? Everyone does their email while they eat lunch. And then there's the entire, like the opposite spectrum of that. That's teams who come and chase everybody down and drag you into the break room to eat as a big old work family. So because your new hire has never been before, and I mean, they have some clues about your organizational work culture, but they don't know how that part of the day is going to go. They don't really know which end of the spectrum your team will fall on. And helping them understand that, I think, is far more important than one might actually realize.
Yeah, it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Maslow says you need to know food, water, and shelter, I think, is on the first row. Before you can think about anything else, before you can even think about community, you have to know that I'm going to be fed and I'm going to like have a roof over my head tonight. And it's one of those small things that people worry about, and they're not listening to you when you're explaining the org chart or their job or how to get to that weird Slack thing that they need to get to, because they're thinking, I'm hungry. How long do I have to wait? Am I going to be fed? Like, it's just, yeah. It's just take away the worry. And when you do it early so that they know, you know, tell them at like 10 o'clock,
yeah.
By the way, we all go to lunch at 12 and we all go together. And don't worry about it. We cover the first day. So you don't need to worry. We're going to take you to lunch. When you get to lunch, tell them whether what you're doing that day is unusual. In one of the companies I worked for, on Fridays, we always went to the pub. That's a fairly common British thing, to go to the pub for lunch on Friday. But if it was Monday, then you would say to them, hey, we eat in the canteen every day, Monday to Thursday. And on Friday, we go to the pub. It's just the thing our team does. Tell them what happened, like how long you take and what happens if you take too long. Yeah. You know, some managers are standing at your desk waiting for you saying, that was 57 minutes. And other managers are like, oh, you've been an hour and a half, didn't even notice.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, some managers are say, oh, you can have 2 hours if you need to go out for errands, like one day a week, as long as you only have half an hour for the other days. And so, you know, give that poor person a clue before they get in trouble, right? You don't want them to assume they have an hour and then your manager has this thing about everybody having 55 minutes and they don't know.
Exactly.
So give them a clue. And they're not machines. And feeding ourselves is an important part of getting through the day.
Mm-hmm. And I think we often forget, or we don't realize, because we know where the food is and that it's going to come into our mouths at some point. We are well aware of this fact. So we don't worry about it. All we want to do is download all the work information.
Exactly.
Because that's what they're here for.
I want you to be productive.
Yeah, exactly. But we don't think about those small, important things. Now, I think Wendy did mention this, but if lunch has to be paid for, like it's a cafeteria or you go to, as she mentioned, the pub, things like that, we recommend that you pay for them. That is. Chances are, if this new hire is just coming into your organization, they're potentially going a month or so, maybe even more, without a salary, right? If they didn't have employee before this and they were looking for a job because of the way the paydays fall, financially, they could be in a tight spot. That, and they don't know where we're necessarily going. What's the price of all these things? I don't know how much it costs. Oh, and some organizations, some companies, you have that card that you pay for.
Yeah, you have like a card that you have to load.
Yeah, you have to load.
None of the prices are anywhere because it's all on the card.
Right, and you just tap your card. And then maybe they choose something that's accidentally crazily expensive, right? So just take away the stress for them. Just tell them, hey, this is how we do it here. The team pays for everybody's first lunch on their first day. So just get whatever you want. Like, don't even worry about it. Take that stress away for them.
And you can do it for the whole of the first week if you're feeling generous.
Yeah.
But definitely do it for the first day. And coffee too. If coffee has to be paid for, buy them a coffee in the morning and mid-morning. Or buy them a coffee as often as you're getting one. You know, if you need to be caffeinated, so do they. Unless you work at our friends at, what are they called? Family Search?
Oh, Family Search, yeah.
Yeah, who don't do coffee. It's always funny when we send Mark there because he does do coffee.
He does do coffee.
Yeah. Okay, so next up, create an onboarding plan. And this is another thing that people think, oh, managers do that, which is true. Managers do that if they're halfway decent. but they also think, oh, gosh, I've hired this person. I've been managing without someone for weeks and weeks and weeks. And now I've got to do an onboarding plan. It's going to be so hard. There's so many things and I'll just wing it. And it really doesn't help. And you don't have to start from scratch because we have a 6-part podcast with everything you need to put on it. And
you're welcome.
If you're a licensee, you can download the onboarding plan and just start copying. So you don't need to be the manager to do an onboarding plan. You can just tell your manager, hey, I have this thing. Somebody showed me this onboarding plan we can use and I'll just fill it in and you can approve it. And just have them bless your plan. An onboarding plan says to your new hire, we're excited that you're here. We got prepared for you. We have a plan to get you up to speed. It's kind of like when you go to someone's house. One of my friends is a wonderful hostess. And you go to her house and she says, this is your bedroom. And in the bedroom, there's a tray with flowers on it. And the Wi-Fi code in a little frame. And it's written on there. And then some snacks and some water and some magazines, just in case you wake up early and you need, you know, a snack or whatever. And it's so nice to go to her house. And it always feels like you're really special. And she was prepared. And she thought about you coming in advance. And it's just so nice. Whereas other people's houses, sometimes you go to and there's still stuff on the bed that you're going to sleep on. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'll get to that. And I need to change the sheets. And you just feel like, am I a bit of an imposition? And the onboarding plan is like going to my friend's house who prepares everything. It says she's excited to have me there. And that makes me excited to go. And so that's kind of what an onboarding plan is like. It's something that's very welcoming. And it makes someone feel that they're really wanted. And not just for their work brain, but for the fact that they're going to be part of your team.
Yes, exactly. And guys, don't hesitate to, because you're probably thinking to yourself, wow, so I'm going to create an onboarding plan and then I'm going to make sure that we act upon it, et cetera. So make sure you put time in your calendar to do the onboarding tasks with this individual, right? To walk them through, to help them out with that, and make sure that there's extra or additional time there to answer them their questions, right? You want to encourage them, again, to feel like they can ask questions, which they need to do. And many times, just think of it. So many things are flying at their brain. So many things are flying at their brain. Sometimes, and I know myself, even now, people will be like, do you have any questions? I'm like, no, not right now. And then I have about 3 million questions an hour
later.
When
you start to do it.
That's the thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And you could show them your calendar and say, see this hour that hasn't got anything in it? That's for you to ask questions. You know, like, I have nothing else to do that hour. And you can have that hour when it's there on my calendar, or you can have it broken up into 6-10-minute bits during the day. But I've put time aside for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. And now we don't want to lose sight of the fact that we want to report all of these experiences to our team and our manager, right? So you want to tell your manager and the rest of the team about these conversations that you've been having with your new hire, right? What you covered in your conversations and what you think, right? Your feeling for it, right? How things are going, the welcoming, the onboarding of a new hire is really a team event, right? Everyone, even though you might be the one who's crafted the plan and is taking these actions, everyone is a part of it. Like, for example, you're not going to everybody sit down and show them the organizational chart, right? We don't also want none of you to sit down and show the organizational chart. So help your team understand what of those onboarding types of duties have been covered so that they know how they can contribute to the onboarding as well.
And tell them what your impression of that person is, what they seem to be getting quickly, what they seem to be struggling with, or what you found out about them that helps you know what will be harder for them. and say positive things about them. You know, let's look for the positives of this new hire that we just made, because there's some people in your team who are less welcoming to new people than others. And the more you say, oh, this person's really smart and asks great questions, the more those people will warm up to that person and the better the whole team will do at integrating the new person and everybody getting up to speed quickly. So, for example, you might say, Janet and I went over the org chart this morning. I showed her our team all the way up to Annabelle and all the other teams that work for her. She knows someone who works in Juliet's team, so I think that's how she found out about this job. She's just had Salesforce training, so she's really up there with the new rollouts. But Bruce, you might need to go a bit slower on the account stuff because they only just introduced it in her company. And I know she had the training, but she didn't use it very much. That said, she asks really smart questions and she's really clear. She's really picking stuff up. She, you know, when I talked to her through the org chart and then I mentioned something else later, she made the connection. So she's really smart. I'm really glad she's here. I think she's going to be awesome for us.
Mm-hmm. All right. Which takes us to the end of their day, right? All right. Now, at the end of their day, we encourage you to ask them how their day went, right? And not only does it show a great message to them, but it also, you get some data, some information in their response. So we want you to make a point of being present at the end of their day, ask them how it went. And I know many of us either are temporarily or permanently remote and not working together. So make a point. So stick a little reminder in your calendar to call them, right? A phone call or a video call with them at the very end of the day to just touch in and see how the day went, right? The likelihood of, at this point, a new hire, somebody who just started today, giving you anything but a positive review is really low. But that's not the point, right? It matters.
Yeah. The point is that you're developing a relationship for the future. That person now you have connected with them and you've showed that you care about them and all of that stuff. You know, part of the quality of a relationship is how often you talk to somebody.
Yeah.
The frequency with which you talk to them. And that's half of the equation. And so if you've talked to that person when they came in the morning, you've communicated a few times during the day, you've been to lunch with them and you're there at the end of the day, you will have communicated with that person 4, 5, 6 times, which is way more than somebody, you know, if you hadn't thought about this guidance, you might have said hello in the morning, you might have gone to lunch with them. So if you've done it 6 times, 6 times 2 is 3. So you've communicated with them 3 times as many times, which means you're 3 times further on with that relationship.
Yeah. And this kind of also, I would say, relates kind of to the lunch idea. They don't necessarily know how the end of the day is going to go. Like, they don't know.
Right. Yeah. Can I just leave? Do I have to tell everybody I leave? Do I have to clock out? Is there a certain time? You know, is the end of the day 5 o'clock and then everybody stays till 5:30? Or do we all leave at 4:49? You know,
right.
The norm for those things is, yeah.
Yeah. It's entirely unknown.
It's a huge range.
That's the thing. So going over and saying goodbye and asking them how their day went and letting them know, all right, well, I'll leave you to pack things up. For example, things like that are really helpful. It just it helps them understand how our organization operates.
And if you're the manager, let them go an hour early. Let them go at 4 because they are so tired from taking everything in.
Their head is so full.
Give them a break and say, look, I know it's been a long day. We normally, everyone's going to work till 5, which is fine. But today, just take off early. I just don't think I can get any more crammed in your brain and you need a good night's rest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Well, guys, at the end of this, to be clear, you noticed none of the things we recommend here is difficult to do, right? None of it's breakthrough human science or something that you would have never in your life imagined doing. You probably, listening to this entire thing, listening to all the words we say, you're like, yeah, mm-hmm. That sounds right. It sounds logical. The thing is, most people don't actually take action. It makes sense. And you think to yourself, oh yeah, if it were me in a new job, I wish people would do that.
Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to you, you're busy. You got stuff to do. You know, it's like, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. But you never get a chance to do the first day again.
Exactly. Absolutely. So take action. Right? Don't hesitate. Make them feel welcome in their new environment. Start, and we say this all the time, relationships matter. Start building relationships on day one. We say that the one-eyed man in the land of the blind is king. Well, you're now the one-eyed man.
Yeah, all you need to do is take action.
Exactly.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Andy.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with something new.